listen to what they're saying about Brutalitopia.
Fuck you, Brutalitopia!
Fuck you, Joe!
This is Brett from Paul Bear. Brutalitopia fucking sucks. Don't listen to it. Seriously, turn this off right now.
This is Josh from Royal Thunder, and I don't know why the fuck you're listening to Brutalitopia, this shitty podcast.
Welcome to the Brutalitopia podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Brutalitopia podcast, episode number 4. We are on fire here. This, of course, is Mick, and this time around, only myself and my East Coast friend, Tom. Tom, say hello to the internet.
Hello, internet.
Like I just said, episode number 4, we are on a roll. Like you were saying, it's one of those things that's like, you know, it feels good to just start doing these every week just for, it's kind of almost a therapy in a way that I think I might need.
Well, the problem is that we have so many different schedules and, you know, parenting a child is new since the last time I recorded one of these and, you know, life happens.
Life does happen.
As our cohort, Mr. Durfee and his 8 weddings during this calendar year has now taken him from Baltimore to Chicago and now to Kentucky, and luckily I will see him later this month in New Jersey, but the man's got to be beaten and destroyed and wondering why on earth he was so nice to so many people and ended right up at so many weddings.
Yeah, he's been a jet setter this time of year. He has quite a few inconsiderate friends who don't plan.
Yes, there are certainly repercussions for being so friendly.
Right. Well, for this episode in particular, since it's just the two of us, and since last weekend was MDF 14, right?
That it was.
Yeah,
it's podcast number 4.
Podcast
MDF 14.
MDF 14 recap. I would say overall we give it a very good grade. That's a good starting point. What grade overall would you give MDF this year?
Well, it varies as to what it is you're referring to. Is it MDF the event, or is it MDF the weekend in and of itself?
Let's do both, and then we'll do like a composite grade from there.
Well, I would say as far as the event with the music and everything like that, I certainly had a lot more of a variety in myself doing Edison Soundstage and Ram's Head is probably where I think most of our group collectively spent the most time.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the music and everything, I would say it's somewhere B+ range. We knew the lineup wasn't going to be like lighting the world on fire. Like when Brutalitopia first made it to MDF, we had At the Gates was a huge thing to go see. And
yeah, it was a pretty high bar.
And, you know, 4 years ago when I myself went for the first time, I had Godflesh and Electric Wizard and Morbid Angel and even some bands that I didn't necessarily know at the time, like Church of Misery. And actually one I did know that was another huge one was Brujeria was another one that was absolutely enormous. And they were a phenomenal live band, probably one of the best ones I've ever seen. But nothing like that this time, I don't think.
Yeah, that was kind of a common theme that I heard other people talking about a lot, was just that the overall lineup wasn't anything like spectacular. There was no there was no one band anybody had that was like, oh yeah, like I have to, like absolutely have to see this band. That being said, though, there were a few surprises. Since you didn't have huge expectations, I thought there were a few bands here and there that really, like, I was looking forward to see for sure, but they just really blew my expectations away. Did you have any of those?
Well, there was one I did definitely want to see, which was Satan, but I didn't get around to it.
We'll
get into why that was later, and it was certainly for a good reason. I'm certainly a little disappointed, but in the grand scheme of things, it's something I wouldn't change for the world.
Yeah, same thing for me and Gruesome. I think that was the one band that was kind of sacrificed this year for me, but for a better cause.
And they had 2 sets. It's almost like myself with Bolzer 2 years ago. I missed both sets.
Right. I heard that they first replaced Sinister, right?
And they made sure to remind the crowd, from what I was told, that they were definitely not Sinister.
Right.
After a song or two, like, we are still not Sinister. We are still Gruesome. and I from think, California and Florida.
And I thought I heard that the next day during their actual set that they were actually scheduled to play, they started off being like, just so you guys all know, we are still not Sinister. but for me, I would say just kind of on the highlights band wise, that the ones that I was looking forward to or may have surprised me. I think Mitochondrion was amazing. Did you watch any of that set, Tom? That was the last night.
Yeah, no, I saw Mitochondrion and Zhrine. The latter of which I thought was good. I thought they were great live. I thought that bass that they were playing was
very odd,
but it worked.
That was
and dope. These guys look like a bunch of very well dressed, good looking young men playing
just nice button down shirts and
yeah, playing the devil's music.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it looked like they came out of an Express catalog.
They did, but that was another band for me that just like totally blew my expectations away, because I had listened to their album prior to MDF, so I kind of knew what to expect a little bit. But once, you know, like you said, you saw them walk out, it's like, oh, is this the right band even? Like, these guys do not really fit the bill of what I was expecting, but they...
Yeah, it's like I didn't know Interpol was playing MDF.
Yeah, exactly. But they killed it, and they sounded huge, so I was immediately a fan.
I actually did listen to that album as I pulled away from the airport when I dropped you guys off. I actually listened to that on the way home again, the second time I had listened to it, and it definitely resonated better with me seeing as we had just, you know, sat and watched them.
Yeah, same.
Or stood and watched them. I don't want to be inaccurate.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be reviewing that album for this week, I believe. But
excellent.
But yeah, them Mitochondrion was brutal. Just like the fact that they had like three growlers who were like kind of, you know, I think Joseph put it best, like they were almost like harmonizing growls. It was just like a whole other level of like heaviness that was crazy.
Yeah, it was synchronized evil.
That's a better way to put it. Synchronized evil.
Well, see, okay, that
you should coin that term.
That's Tom Campagna one, Joe Schaefer nothing.
Yeah,
and I'd like to make sure that he certainly does know that. And fuck you, Joe Schaefer.
Always got to bring it around back to that.
Well, I just don't want our overarching theme to be lost.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That should be the...
That's really the reason we do these podcasts, so that we could let him know.
That is the single reason we are continuing on with that, just so that he constantly knows how we feel about him. What else? What were other bands? I'm trying to think of the first night. That was pretty much like...
Crypt Sermon.
Yeah, anybody who partakes in weed would have loved that night.
Yeah, I don't know if I forget if it was a Weed Eater song or a Bongzilla song. I'm thinking it was like Weedian. I think that's Bongzilla.
Weed Eater was awesome. That's one I remember from the first night.
Just make sure that Dixie, what was it, Dixie Dave?
Yeah.
Didn't unscrew his head as he continually twirled his baseball cap around his head.
Right.
Or as our... and
he's
also
trying to unscrew his head or something.
Right. Well, he almost did successfully with the bottle of Jim Beam he held up on his finger.
That was so cool. Like,
and our astute Seattle friend, Maddie, pointed out that he was playing a Squire bass, which I was told, knowing nothing about gear, it was just a shitty bass.
Yeah, just pretty much the most basic thing you could get.
Did you really have to say the word basic when we're talking about basses?
Of course. Yeah, the way he, like, I think he, didn't he, like, legitimately, like, drink a whole thing of Jim Beam during that set?
But he supposedly does that all the time. I've seen pictures of him at other shows where he's doing exactly the same thing.
That was insane. Like, he would take, like, huge pulls, and it was, like, in between each song, and, like, their songs are not, you know, super long, so... He was like, he did like that little trick where he like flicked it around on his one finger and like stopped it and then just took a huge pull from it.
Yeah, you had that to watch during the set, and you also had their drummer who looked like Animal from the Muppets, like a fucking caged animal up there playing right. These slow beats, but he was filling like just... in dead space with these different motions and movements.
And his drum kit was like sideways on the stage. Like they didn't even have enough room to like put him like the normal way.
No. No, they did not.
That was awesome.
The only thing that was missing were shackles, and I'm not necessarily sure they weren't there.
Right. It was fairly dark in that venue, so maybe we missed that. But another part of that, though, was his, like, I think it was, we, like, deduced that it was, like, his sweat or something on the drum.
I think somebody said he poured his, like, water onto
maybe
the,
it was
the
water
skin.
Or a combination thereof, but, like, every because we were at an angle where we saw, like, every time he would hit, like, a snare or just any of the drums, like, a bunch of water would just, like, splash into the air, which was the coolest thing to see.
Yeah, but like I said, I thought we were seeing a really slowed down, doomy version of the Blue Man Group at that point.
So they were obviously good. Goblin was great, even though it was a different Claudio Simonetti's Goblin, that's right.
Which is different than what you had seen in the past, I imagine, right?
Yeah, I forgot, because they did a tour, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, that we saw when they came through Chicago, and I can't remember, it wasn't like anybody's specific name, I think it was just supposed to be like the original lineup. Mm-hmm. So there were a few more people that they had on this tour than they had this time around, because they only had the three guys this time. But it was still really cool, still pretty much what I was expecting, so that was a good time for sure.
Yeah.
And they had that weird, like, girl dancing in, like, the the gown. Did you see that?
Yeah, she stood out in that crowd with the smelly, hairy metal dudes. Right. It was this attractive, I'm guessing, Italian woman who was gyrating to the tunes.
Right, immediately excited everybody in the crowd.
Yeah, there was definitely people leaning up against the poles. You heard several audible pings as she came out on stage.
And then closing that night was Earth, which we did not stay
very
long
for. Don't you mean Earth?
Yeah.
With Earth. Dylan Carlson on guitar?
And his tanuki suit he was wearing.
Yeah, he had his tanuki suit, and he was rocking the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse up there.
The funny part was, like, Durf was so excited for Earth, and as soon as we, like, walked in to watch him start playing, he saw that tail he was wearing, and Durf just immediately started laughing. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, he's wearing a tail. Like,
yeah.
I can't do this anymore.
Well, I mean, to continue along, like, with how I felt last year, I still think, for me, that night, and that was nice to see some of those other bands, but, like, Crypt Sermon was still, I thought, great live, and I even think that our buddy Steve Jansen did a great job recovering his guitar issue that he had, which you and I had spoken to him about at the Edison Lot 2 days, or I think 3 days later, as a matter of fact.
Right, but he definitely played it off as best as he could. Like,
he just told us it was like, of course.
Yeah.
Because he knew, like, it was going to happen.
Like, as soon as that happened, like, he was just trying to wank on it as much as he could, so hopefully one of those notes would come through. But they were also excellent, even with those issues.
Or just to take, again, a line from Joe Schaefer, this would be one almost to even the score. He said that Brooks Wilson from Crypt Sermon is like if Messiah Markelin from Candlemass counted calories. And if you've ever seen Messiah, he is not a small man.
Yeah. Good stuff. So I'm trying to think the next day, that Saturday. That's the day that you took off
for a wedding.
Friend, yeah.
Yeah, so no, Durf is not alone in that endeavor.
Right. that was kind of a blur of a day for me, because I don't think there was anybody in particular I wanted to see.
No, I know there was. I know who you wanted to see. You wanted to see me, but I wasn't there.
Right. Because that was... I'm trying to think who we saw that day. I should probably pull up the lineup to look at that, but I remember, like, just... I hit the wall of, like, tiredness that day.
Oh, yeah, you dudes went home at, like, 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah, well, Durf even went home earlier than that. But, like, I was standing, I think it was with Joseph and some of the other guys. We were watching Paradise Lost start to come on. Like, they hadn't even come on yet. They were setting up. And I just remember standing there, like, about to fall asleep, standing up. And I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I gotta call it quits
today. Well, I think you guys collectively did a better job than 2 years ago, because that first night we hit a fucking wall.
Yeah, that wall was the worst wall. Yeah, that was the worst wall. I remember the day after that first time 2 years ago, we're like, okay, we cannot do that anymore. This is not going
to
go.
Yeah, I had one of my friends find me leaning up against a wall. I kind of had to peel me off. I was in bad shape that first night.
That reminded me, that first wall reminded me of the picture that MDF posted, like, this year, like, just at, like, the first day that it started. Mm-hmm. It said, like, it had a picture of a guy, like, slumped over, like, sitting on the ground against a wall, and on the wall was, like, a piece of paper that said, like, you know, MDF 14 is in here. You have to be at least more sober than this guy to get in. So, yeah, Saturday was, Friday. Was more or less a wash for me. But Saturday is when we kind of start talking maybe a little more about the non-band events that took place that, you know, kind of almost in a way made up for the weekend more than, you know, any of the bands we were there to see. So Tom, if you would like to talk about that in a little more detail,
yeah,
I know you would like
considering, my brainchild took on an absolutely massive form this time around, because the idea behind what we ended up titling Maryland Breakfast,
which is a great title
to the layman,
MBF,
was two years prior. Again, my Northeastern pride, specifically my New Jersey pride of the best bagels and being able to share something like Taylor ham, not pork roll, Taylor ham, because we're from North Jersey. We associate with New York, not Philly, like some of these other people. But anyway.
That's a very restrained way of putting that, I feel. I feel like you wanted to say something else.
I'm trying to not gesticulate too much about my New Jersey Italianness. You can't see my hands, but
I was going to say, I can sense the clenched fist that you have right now.
Yes, yes. So my morning started pretty early. I got up at 4:45, up here in Garwood, New Jersey, and went over, got 3 dozen fresh bagels. I brought a half a case of Taylor ham down with me, and I made it down there to cheers. I had a hero's welcome as I witnessed my Brutalitopia brethren waving to me from our window on West Pratt Street in Baltimore.
Yeah,
as I had braved traffic to get in, and the metal masses who had been informed and invited certainly made their way out, and Durf and I started whipping up some breakfast sandwiches down in the kitchen. And the best part about that was, of course, the exhaust fan did not work as well as it should have. And the window would not open. So we had the equivalent of a breakfast version of a meth lab in that apartment.
Filled
and
with bacon
I'm sure
smoke.
It still smells like bacon and Taylor ham and eggs.
As many people put it, though, there are many worse things that smoke
could
have been
of. Oh, there are worse fates. We could have, I mean, from the crowd we had, from people hanging out with us, you know, people could have been throwing things out windows.
That could have just been, like, alcohol just straight up evaporating out of our pores. Like, you don't know what that could have been. Like, that could
right,
have been so
course,
many worse.
But of course,
things.
It was smoke and it smelled in the hallway, but it was right. Wonderful because I'm sure every single neighbor is like, what the fuck did they eat?
I'm so hungry now.
But we had people coming from all walks, our new friends from Nine Circles, our old acquaintances with No Clean Singing, even somebody who's with them, my good brother Dave Fari, a DGR from the Number of the Blog, finally got to meet him. Our Max from Metal Bandcamp, come all the way from Denmark to partake in those festivities. Dave from Last Rites and About.com and his crew from LA. You know, everybody was just coming in, day drinking, eating, and we had a nice seventh floor roof terrace where everybody was just kind of hanging out and listening to some tunes. And we got a nice reception once we were all done cooking, and Durf and I finally were able to eat our breakfast.
Right.
we were well taken care of the rest of the weekend.
And us almost getting kicked off the roof and
well,
out of our apartment.
But that's another story, because Airbnb is a wonderful thing when it's allowed.
Right, when it's legal.
So, again, if any of you gentlemen and ladies out there who were actually at the event, you know, enjoyed yourself, and I know there's plenty of you that have expressed that already, you're more than welcome. I would like to make it an annual thing as long as life allows me to at least be there for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday in Maryland. But I had an absolute blast doing it, and I wouldn't think twice about doing it again.
Well, now that you say that, I'm sure everybody listening now is already marking their calendars, trying to anticipate that.
What's
next
the
one?
Saturday Memorial Day weekend next year?
Right. Can't wait. I can smell the bacon already.
And I know some of everybody who stayed with us, stayed in our apartment, ended up going home with a box, so I certainly hope they're going to enjoy that as well.
Not prop mine open yet, but I'm going to soon.
There'll be a time and place. Audrey deserves to have some as well.
She certainly does. but that kind of leads us into, really what was, I mean, we'll talk about maybe a few more bands here and there, but really what made the trip for us and did in the past was more so the camaraderie between everybody that was there, really making it that much more of an experience than just going, you know, to just another concert over a few days. You know, it was just being there around so many like-minded people just looking to have a fun time and, you know, just kind of exchanging, you know, origin stories like, hey, you know, what brought you to do what, you know, running your blog? What do you, you know, how did that start? Like, you know, what bands got you? It was just a lot of fun like that. And a lot of good times were had, I think is safe to say.
Yeah. I mean, you can't beat running into people like that around heavy metal music. I've been raving about the community that comes together to listen to this kind of music, because there's certainly lots and lots of people, much like on the internet, people who are not happy unless they're making other people unhappy. And
right,
but you know, people would think on the surface level listening to music that we do listen to would make us angry, upset people. And granted, there was a time where I really cared a lot about what people had to say about my music, but now I really don't care anymore. But there are certainly some people that are the typical elitist asshole metal fans. And luckily for us, our group,
I don't think we ran into a single one all weekend.
We didn't have any people in there to sully the mood. We had good heart-to-heart discussions. We had good times closing down bars, especially on Sunday night.
Remember that those guys we ran into at that bar, those older guys, they were like, dude, you guys, how old are you guys? You guys can't be very old. You guys are the future of metal, man.
Right. These guys that were in their early 40s and everything, they didn't realize that, you know, they were far from the oldest people we had seen that weekend. Right. But I certainly appreciate the fact that they felt that way about us, especially with the way the internet is about promoting things like this. And, you know, it makes it a lot more acceptable, because you always do happen to find some people who are so similar to yourself and also dissimilar in a good way. But there's just so much to take in, so many people we knew, lots of people we didn't know, or some people that maybe I knew and that you didn't know, and so on and so forth. But it was a good bridging of gaps, and it really was a big family get together. It's our misfit family reunion.
Yeah.
And I use the word misfit loosely because it applies to some others more so than the rest.
Yeah, there are definitely varying degrees of that to who that applies to, each person.
Yes. Yes, and they know who they are.
Or maybe they don't.
And that's okay too.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm trying to think of, because that was really the main point that I wanted to hit home about, for anybody listening to this who hasn't been to, you know, a Maryland Death Fest or any metal festival in general, is just that is really what makes the experience worthwhile, is, you know, meeting those people, not necessarily just, you know, being in your little shell, just, you know, admiring, you know, a few bands you wanted to see.
If you went there strictly to see the music, I think you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, and I think you probably would have given this year probably like a C+ at best. Is that accurate?
I mean, like, people are going to get on our case because our whole collective missed Demolition Hammer. They missed Satan. We missed, I'm trying to think who was on later that night. I think we missed Nuclear Assault as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, we had this is the other thing, just to the camaraderie. We had a wonderful dinner at the Brewer's Art in Baltimore. Again, the collective came together again for dinner at a very nice place. They could have turned a funny eye to us, but yeah. we stood out.
Yeah, I forgot who said it, because it was, for anyone who hasn't picked up, it was a rather fancier place. And just like a bunch of dudes and girls in their black shirts rolling in to, you know, take this huge table. I forgot who said it, but someone like leaned over and was like, man, I really feel bad for anybody who came here tonight just to have a nice dinner.
I mean, I know what we looked like on the surface level, but we certainly weren't, you know, yeah, loud
we
and obnoxious.
We weren't unruly, like, by
certainly
any means.
Could have been to, you know, fill in whatever stereotype.
I'm sure we didn't fit. I'm sure we didn't fit somebody's picture of their perfect evening.
Yes, I didn't see anybody drop their monocle into their soup, so that was welcome. I appreciated the fact that there wasn't quite such shock and awe at our appearance, but we kept it civil. I'm sure there were plenty of people out there that were of the proper ilk, that were much worse people than we.
Right. Were there any other bands that I'm missing that were of note?
Well, you know, the afternoon gentleman, your way through the weekend. I mean, the afternoon gentleman I heard was very good. Our friend Matt, who stayed with us, was huge on that.
It was nice having Matt around because he was more the grindcore guy who's like, okay, you guys got to see this band. So like,
yeah, grindcore power violence.
Because two years ago, I didn't even go over to Soundstage at all. But like, I was, you know, like you said earlier, I was over there a lot more this time around, and was glad I was.
I mean, just going through the weekend because Saturday was obviously a particularly long day for me. And our buddy Joe Schaefer managed to get me to stay to watch Negative Approach, of which there are pictures of me on Return to the Pit now, in the pit for Negative Approach, getting our hardcore punk on. I'm trying to think of what else it was for Saturday night, because Saturday afternoon we had done Max's Tap House was Sunday also.
Yes, correct.
I'm trying to remember what other bands we saw on Saturday.
Was Cold Saturday?
No, Cold was Friday because I wasn't there for that.
Oh, okay.
Let's just take a look at the list because I'm sure I could find it.
Yeah, pull that up.
Yeah, talk about it being a blur, but I mean, I remember specifically Negative Approach at the end,
mm-hmm.
and then walking home by myself. So Saturday, we didn't make it out to Edison Lot until Hail of Bullets.
Oh, that's right. Okay, they were the. Okay.
And I know that Atrophy was playing while we were there, during one part of it. But then let's see the soundstage. I made it over to soundstage with Matt towards the end of Hemorrhage.
Okay.
And we saw part of Infest, and then I went home after Negative Approach. I did not make it to Ramshead at all that night. You guys saw Dragged Into Sunlight, who I had seen prior.
And they were fantastic. They were probably just.
They are absolutely. I'm glad I've seen them before. I'm glad you guys got to see them because they are absolutely frightening.
That was hands down like the best performance of this year's MDF. Like that was for anybody who hadn't seen them before. Like you said, they were just terrifying, and it was just so loud and just so unrelenting.
I'm almost disappointed they played inside the Ram's Head because when I saw them, the inside of the Sonar 4 years ago is definitely set up a lot more like the Baltimore soundstage. So imagine being in an even smaller space, Mick. I'm talking to you specifically because you saw them at Ram's Head. Imagine them being in an even smaller space. How much scarier that would be. And the soundstage is generally a lot darker of a venue than the other than Ram's Head itself. So,
which is hard to imagine because it was already pretty like pitch black in there.
But you're talking about like pitch black with a low ceiling. the roof is actually lower.
Right. but sorry to interrupt. Who else were you talking about?
And then we could just move into Sunday. We made it out there a little bit later. We happened to catch, we were walking around during Bongzilla. We missed Wombath, who people were really stoked about.
That was the day it was raining, right?
Yes, and then Interment, I spent a good amount of time on the phone but Interment, what I did see, I really enjoyed.
Durf and I saw pretty much all of Interment, and they were awesome.
Yeah, and their album from this year, Scent of the Buried, is phenomenal. It's really, really great.
I'm gonna have to listen to that for sure.
And then you got to check out their, I think it was Into the Crypts of Blasphemy from 6 years ago. Those are the only two albums they ever had, but
okay. They
are a 1990-91 Swede death band, so they are from the old school.
That's really cool.
we saw part of Incantation, but at the end of Incantation is when we left for our dinner. So then that left Demolition Hammer, Venom, and Satan all off the list. And Satan was one that I was big on because I love my traditional heavy metal.
I love
Court in the Act. I came back to that after I listened to Life Sentence, and Atom by Atom last year was great too. Mm. So, but then we made our way over to Ram's Head, and we caught Mitochondrion and Drine.
Right.
And I caught. And then we all kind of...
Wasn't it Doom the last night?
Yeah, Doom. And we at least caught half to three quarters of Doom before we decided to close down the power plant area in Baltimore before we said goodbye to our good friends from No Clean Singing.
Yeah, and we certainly did close that area down.
It was a somber event.
Yeah.
Watching some of our friends walk that drunken, crooked path back to our apartment was certainly, I'm not going to name names, but...
Or maybe it was just us perceiving that because we were also walking that crooked path home.
Yeah, maybe that was the only person who was walking straight, but, you know, that's all about perception.
Right.
But yeah, it's always sad to see our friends go because, again, that is, to me, if the lineup isn't great, it's still enough reason to go down there and see people who we... we haven't seen. I know you had seen some of these people more recently than I have, but in 2 years is a very long time.
It is, and especially since it feels like, you know, knowing them online and everything, it's like, you know, you're always in contact with them, but obviously, you know, seeing someone in person is like a whole other level of, like, you know, just having a good time together.
And knowing people from the internet is such a different thing now, because it used to be such a frowned upon thing. You know, I met my wife online, so that should be enough right there. And then we get to meet the rest.
Age. Yeah,
get to meet the rest of these cast of characters that you've known. You know, at least I've been aware of most of these guys for at least 6 years since 2010, when the number of the blog started.
Yeah, it was like didn't someone say it was like when we took that picture together at dinner that someone was like, you know, this is really like a 6 degrees of the number of the blog picture.
Well, I also made a speech where I. As I came to the head of the table, interrupted everybody's fun conversations to bring about this little nugget of truth, which was, if anybody refers to this meetup as anything other than the monolith at Maryland Death Fest, then you were fucking wrong.
Yeah, truly a meeting of the minds.
Or the mindless, again, it depends on who we're referring to.
Right, right. But yeah, that was, I mean... That's pretty much a wrap on it, that MDF, man. It was that was more than enough to make it worth it, for sure. I don't know if there's anything else that we missed that we need to hit on, but are you good?
I think we hit on everything we did. Again, we talked a lot about the camaraderie, talked a lot about the bands that we liked. You know, the MDF wall, which always happens. I didn't talk about the feet stink next to me, but that's not
that's MDF better to related. Yeah, better to leave unspoken.
Yeah. But no, I think we covered our bases.
I say so too. I think for this podcast we're gonna cut it short there. Just for brevity's sake, and for the sake of the listeners who are still listening, who don't want to hear us talk out of our asses anymore. thank you everybody who has been listening to this. Take our word for it. If you have never been to a Maryland Death Fest and you know people that are going and you would like to meet them, definitely do so. It is more than worth your time and effort to do so. And yeah, that's a wrap for MDF XIV. So until next time, everybody, thanks for listening again. We'll catch you hopefully next week.
Mankind is unkind, man.
Later, everybody.